I want you to go to the book of Psalms as we think a little bit about Thanksgiving, the week of Thanksgiving right here on us already, and the Psalms are filled with telling us to give thanks, amen? And Psalms 107, I want you to go to Psalms 107. Wish I could take time to really go all the way through the Psalm. I'm going to point out a few things about it as we read the first 8 verses this morning as our text. I have a lot of good fond memories of Thanksgiving, and it has more to do with eating perhaps, but also all the other fixings that go along with it. Family get-togethers, when I was a kid, it's a big day of it. And I don't know if it's made as much fuss over now as it used to be. Maybe it should be a little more for the right reason. I remember one time in our little country school, I was just in the third grade. My cousin was probably in the fifth or sixth grade. He was a great big boy to me. But it was Thanksgiving, and the school was doing something. Teachers run up your antenna a little bit. The teachers not only taught the kids, they had to cook lunch every day too. And that's the truth. They'd double up classes. One or two ladies would go and get the wood fire burning and the wood stove, metal stove with wood in it. I got to teach you science. Anyway, they'd get the lunch done. And on Thanksgiving, pretty early that morning, after we'd got in class, my cousin came by the third grade room and he told the teacher he needed me to help him get the turkeys done. Now, the turkeys were in wooden cages made out of sticks. I mean, that's honestly what they were made out of. And we went out there to those cages. Some farmer had dropped them off, two great big old gobblers. And my cousin told me, you take that one, I'm going to take this one. Got to get him out of the cage and get him up here behind the cafeteria to have him butchered, fixed. I want to tell you something, that turkey weighed more than I did. He did. I believe he did. I know one thing, he was a good fighter. I saw my cousin reach in and I tried to copy what he done. I reached in and got a leg. I don't know who I got the turkey or he got me. But when I pulled him out, how many of you know what flogging means? I got pecked, I got flogged, I got scratched. But I knew one thing in my heart, you don't let go. And I had a battle with that thing, but we did have turkey for lunch. I got a lot of memories about Thanksgiving, but it's a little more than food. We need to be thinking about thanking somebody, amen? Amen. Psalms 107, verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Think about that just a moment. You know what? God makes things work together for good to them that love him, and the redeemed say so. He's good even when we're sick, and the redeemed will tell you that. He's good even when we don't have money to pay the bills, the redeemed will say so. We ought to be saying so, praising the Lord, much more than we do. And it says, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. He's talking about the Jews now. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then, you know, if you take your pen and went through this psalm and you just underline the word then. Notice they're in a spot. They're in the wilderness. They're in the solitary way. They're hungry. They're thirsty. Their soul is fainting in them. And then it says then. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way that they might go to a city of habitation. Then here's the verse I want you to see. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Now, if I had time to go through the psalm, I'd show you verse 8 repeated. Actually, it's 4 times in this psalm. The same verse is repeated. And if then you take the little word then in verse 6 and notice it in verse 13. And you can notice it again up here in verse 19. And then you can notice it in verse 30. Here's the picture. This psalm is very down to earth with us. It's where people live. It's the daily activities and the daily struggle of life. Sometime we're up Sometimes we're down. Sometimes we're in trouble. And what do? When we get in trouble, we call on the Lord. And what does He do? He delivers us out of it. But we find ourselves going up and down. And it's when somebody is down, when they're hurting, when they're in trouble, most often when they call on the Lord. But then look at the last verse of the psalm. Whoso is wise and will observe these things. Now that's right, ringing our number right there. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand what? The loving kindness of the Lord. Sick or well, rich or poor, God is still good, and He's still worthy of our praise. As we think about the Thanksgiving, it's so perverted today. It bothers me to see our history of America so perverted. We recognize that our early forefathers gave the day of Thanksgiving. We think about Governor Bradford, and we think about the Pilgrims and all the scenes that we've seen. And it was a day after a struggle of a hard winter when they gathered all the food together to show that God was blessing, that they had the bounty. Now, it's being perverted in our school books and so many places today. Several years back, they come out with a thing that Thanksgiving was not really to God, but it was a time they gathered together to thank the Indians. Well, the Indians helped, but it was God they were giving praise to and thanking. Just recently, I read where a school had a skit concerning Thanksgiving, and the skit was the kids acted out how the Pilgrims slipped around and stole food from the Indians. Now that's a perverted lie. That's all that is. It's to take away from the foundation that this country was built on. Listen, America, like what no matter what the liberals say, they were founded on the principles of God's word. And it's written in our founding documents. And we better stand up for it today and teach our kids where the blessings do come from. Amen. I was reading a little bit about George Washington and thinking about our beginning. America in the beginning had some values that's begin to slip today. George Washington was no accident. I read where a sharpshooter with a British Army had his sights on George Washington. He was a sharpshooter. He had more than one weapon because they were only single shots and they had to be loaded, you know, with the ball and the powder and all that. But he was hit. He was a sharpshooter. And there was George Washington, the general of the American Army in the Revolution. And he had his sights on him, could have shot him in the back, intended to shoot him. But he said, strangely, I didn't feel led that I could pull the trigger. I say God was in our beginning. He was in our beginning. Some of the Indian chiefs later in the battles, they wanted to see the man that bullets would not kill because George Washington was shot at point blank range, but he was not hit. I'll tell you why. God had a purpose for it. We need to get back a little bit to being thankful for the nation that God raised up. I want to say that unthankfulness is a sign of a fallen culture. And that's exactly what we've got today. Somebody said, and you can read it either way, but somebody said that the great empires that rose and fell always went through four stages. They mainly had the Roman Empire in mind, but they say the first stage is pioneering, hard work. America went through that. The second stage is increase and expansion, and that'll come from hard work. It'll come from it. But then the third stage is leisure and luxury, sitting back and picking the fruit, so to speak. And the final stage is decay and decline. And folks, that's where we've been for a good long time. We've come to the place that the folks that will work cannot match the number of them that won't work. And what it really boils down to is when the mob population can vote themselves another freebie out of the common treasury, that brings a nation down. We need to be thankful for our country today. But I want to say to you that thankfulness, or the lack of, is a natural thing. You know what the problem is today? Men by fallen nature, and we all are fallen. We are all sinners. Men by nature are unthankful. You know that. You say, everybody but me. No, you too. You too, and me too. The truth is, that's our nature. You know, anything that's not nature, you have to be taught. Is it the nature of a duck to swim? You ever see anybody have to teach ducks to swim? No, that's their nature. But don't you have to teach kids to swim? It's not their nature. They have to be taught. I'll tell you something else about kids. You got to teach them to share. You got to teach them to think about somebody else, because I guarantee you, thinking about self is built in. I'm not just talking about 3- and 4-year-old kids. I'm talking about 40- and 50-year-old kids too. I'm talking about that nature being part of us to keep instead of share, to think self and not think for somebody else. And we don't like to recognize that, but go look in the mirror, and when you look in the mirror, look in there and say, there's a greedy person looking at me. Say, me? Oh yeah, all of us got that in us. We have to be taught to do better than that. So our nature is to be greedy. No wonder the 10th commandment says, I shall not covet. Amen. That's going against the grain. You know, serving God always goes against the grain of the flesh. Doing right instead of wrong goes against what the flesh feels like doing. The truth of the matter, we all covetous in a way. You know why con men make such a score today? Because they know man is depraved and he's greedy. He wants something for nothing. This last week, 10 days I guess it's been going on, has been really interesting at my house. The phone rings and it's a con man. They get past my name and my phone number. I've had at least 2 calls from Jamaica. I don't know where all of them were. I turned it into the sheriff's department, turned it in Sunday, and I'm beginning to have fun with it. At least 3 different ones have called me, and one of them just couldn't believe I wouldn't believe his baloney. So he called 3 times. Amazing. Say, what was it? They're trying to tell me I want $1,000,000. Now, because this contest picked my name, hey, I haven't been involved in the contest. Unlike some of you, I don't even play the lottery, amen? I said, unlike, amen? But what I'm trying to say to you is simply this, there's a part of you inside wants to believe a lie, that you are going to get something from nothing. It's amazing. This is quite a deep scheme they were playing with me. They even sent me a check for almost $4,000. And they told me how to go to the bank and it would be good. It was good on the company they stole it from and wrote it home. And I did give it to the bank and the sheriff and all that business. And folks, you better watch it. If it's too good to be true, it's not true. And somebody's trying to take advantage of you. And they take advantage of the fact you're depraved in this flesh, and the flesh would love to get something for nothing. Now, I begin to have fun with those guys. I begin to say, all right. One called me, what, yesterday? Saturday? No, Friday. He called me, said, you've won 800 and something thousand. I said, what happened to my million? The last guy that calls said it was $1,000,000. Yeah, my wife's getting tired of it, and I am too. So what do you do? I preach to him a little bit. I say, hey, you believe in God? Oh, yes, Mr. Carter, we believe in God. I said, well, God don't believe in what you're doing. I said, you're going to go to hell for trying to deceive old folks. Not that I am one. Might as well have a little fun with it. But you know why they do that? They get away with it. They make a killing. They steal folks' saving. Why? Because the person's fixing to get something they don't deserve. And that old greed, that's part of our nature. And if you're going to be a thankful person, you got to work at being thankful. Because it's not your nature to be. I mean, just like a kid, I mean, who was it? Abraham Lincoln had 2 sons. They're walking down the street. A neighbor saw him crying. He said, Mr. President, what is the matter with your boys? He said, what's the matter with the whole world? He said, I've got 3 pieces of hard candy, and each one of them want 2. That's our nature. We want the mostest. Is that a word? We want the mostest. We want to get all we can, whether we deserve it or not. And it's good to have Thanksgiving come along and at least for a little while, look up and say, it comes, every good gift comes from the Father of lights above. Amen. From the Lord. You know, you have to work at it. You want to have a thankful heart? There's some things involved in that. How do you have a thankful heart? Well, first it starts with your attitude. It starts with an attitude. I like a person with a good attitude sometime when they don't even seem, you wonder why they could have an attitude. I got a note from a preacher friend this week. Now, I happen to know that man. He's in pain much of the time, pretty bad pain, but he preaches the Word of God and gets the job done. And he was telling me about preaching somewhere over in Europe. And he said, I went to this monastery-like cathedral building, whatever it was. He said, I went in there and said, one of the things they have is a shriveled up human head of a 17th century martyr, and they have it on display. And he said, the people, of course, they pray to everything. They pray to idols of all kinds. They pray to statues and images. But he said, people come in and pray to this shriveled up head. And he said, some of them, and I'm buying all this as I read it, some of them say that they can even hear the head saying. And he said, sure enough, I listened to it and it's saying, I ain't got nobody. Now, you know what I like? I like his attitude. Now, he's serious as he can about serving God, but he doesn't take himself too serious. And you'd be wise not to take yourself too serious. Now, the truth of the matter is, we're just a vapor of smoke that appeareth for a little while and disappear, and you get off this whole thing of self. We preachers preach die to self, and folks say, yeah, let him die to self, but not me. No, we have to watch that thing. You're going to have a thankful heart, you better get your attitude right, and know where things come from. So what do you mean? I think the word thankful ties into the old Anglo-Saxon word thankfulness. Now, here's what it means. Thankful. Think about all my blessings and all I have instead of what I don't have. You know what makes you miserable is looking at what you want instead of what you got. There's a lot of folks that trade places with you and I today. There's a lot of folks hurting worse than us. A lot of folks in much more trouble than we are. Can we look on the positive side and see what God has done and how he's blessing and realize that it does come from him? I'd say to children, you need to look to your parents and think back and thank God for your parents that took care of you and raised you. You know, the older I get, the more I think back and realize the character my mom and dad had in those days and in those times to raise a family. To stick together, to grind it out, grit it out when things were tough compared to what you and I don't even imagine right now. We got parents in this building, and I'd say to them, you deserve a medal for doing the things you did. I drive around this town because I was raised pretty much in this town from about the third grade on. And there's so many things remind me. Stephen and I was going down the road together the other day, and I said, right there used to be a little bridge. It used to be a rough road, and Mom and Dad and Harvey and I would go down there and fish. I thought we went down there for fun, but I realize now catching those fish meant we had supper that night. I mean, it's a little hard to imagine now, but I thank God for my dad getting up before daylight and struggling to make it go and to make it work and to keep our family together and to raise us. And I look back and I see the character that moms and dads had, and yet I look around today and I see kids squandering and taking everything for granted and thinking they owed more all the time. We take it for granted. You know, you can go in my house right now, and if it's too hot, you can turn on the air conditioner. And later on, if it gets too cold, we'll turn on the heat. That's not the way it used to be. How many of you ever remember getting up on a linoleum rug, how cold it can be in the wintertime? You come as close to walking on air. It was walking on ice when you hit one of them things in an early cold morning, amen? You don't have to do that now, do you? We walk in now and turn on the spigot, and the hot water comes out. I rebuke myself every time I turn on the hot water spigot and get impatient that it's not there instantly, that it has to run 10 foot through a pipe. Because I remember when I could let it run all day and it wouldn't have got hot. In fact, I remember when it wouldn't even run. I remember when it was running to the well to get the water, amen? And you know what? A memory will help you be thankful. You look back and see God blessed in those days, and character was stronger than it is today. Easy come, easy go attitude that so many of us have today. We're going to have a thankful heart. Thinking back will help us a little bit on that. You know, it hurts me. I see the pictures you see on TV of starving kids. And do you ever think that could be where I was born? That could be my kids? I could be in that. Do you ever give God thanks for just the fact where you were born and what happened in your background to give you what you have today? Do us good to think on that psalm. You know, the product of what America's been, what you and I enjoy today, we owe a lot to our forefathers. We owe a lot to parents. We owe a lot to these veterans and these men that fought in World War II and Korea and so forth. Listen, what they fought for and what they died for and shed their blood for, we call freedom today, and we sell it out so cheap. In fact, we're swapping freedom, our freedom as Americans today, for so-called security. It's sad. I mean, you see all this junk on the news the last several days about the security at the airports and the screening and the patting down and all that business. You see that? You see what it comes down to? America surrenders their freedoms so because they want to be secure. Government's going to send me a check. Yeah, but what is it I can't do that my parents could do? Where did I lose my freedom? Where did I sell my soul at? That's a big thing that's going on today. By the way, they wouldn't need any pat downs if they'd profile. Yeah, I'll take a day off if they'll let me. I'll go sit down in a chair right there and I'll tell them who they ought to check out and who they shouldn't. It's not that hard. I've been through there. I remember one time a National Guard man come over and stood, and the woman made me pull off my shoes and my socks. Now, my socks are so thin you could read a newspaper through them. I don't know what she thought I had in them socks. But while I was doing that, Osama bin Laden's brother walked right by and they didn't even check him. So how you know it was his brother? Because he looked just like him. You'd see that. You see them patting down grandma. But they're so afraid they might say, he looks like a Mideasterner. He looks like a Muslim. Can't dare say that. Well, come on, man. What in the world are we doing? We're selling out our freedom to the place of even the modesty that's involved and the immorality that's involved. Listen, the screen is just producing pornography for whoever's watching it. By the way, I'm glad I'm not one of the watchers. I've seen some that needed more clothes on. I'd sure hate to see them without anything on in some of those cases. You come to the wrong place if you don't hit straight. But you're going to have a thankful heart. You need to do some thinking. Some thinking. Don't check your brains at the door of the church or anywhere else. Do some thinking. And measure your thinking by the Word of God and what is right and what is wrong according to God's book. But you know, if you're going to be thankful, you're going to have to practice being thankful for what you do have, not what you don't. I've lived long enough to see the promises of God fulfilled in my life. He says in Philippians 4:19 that he'll supply all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. All my what? My needs. And he's done that. I'll be honest with you, he's even given me some of my wants. And he's also taught me how to change my wants and measure them up with my needs. And I want to say to you, that's what needs to be done in America today. I joke with my wife sometimes. She's going shopping, and I'll say, oh, well, what are you going for? Well, I'm going down to the mall. I said, what you going to do is see if there's something in there that you need, and you don't know it till they tell you so. Ladies, run up your antenna. Didn't know I needed that until I saw what a bargain it was. I had a man teacher, taught civics when I was in the ninth grade. I never learned much from him. He's a good man. But I remember one thing he said. He said, there's no such thing as a bargain unless you need it. He said, there's no bargain at any price unless you need it. Hey, that's pretty good, folks. That's truth. Now, I'm not just messing with the ladies. Some of you men just as bad. But the truth is, God promises to supply the needs of His children. And sometime even the hardship that comes into my life, I'll find out on the other side it was something I needed, that He done something for me. And on the other side, there may be a reward waiting that would not have been there if the tough times had not tested me. Understand? Listen, we need to practice being thankful for what we do have. Now, there's no greater thankfulness that we should have in our hearts other than the grace of God. Are you thankful for the grace of God? You could have been born over there where the kids are wiping the flies out of their face and starving. I mean, the grace of God. You're going to have something to eat today, but there'll be a lot of people that don't. You thank God for His grace. Then you thank God for His grace of salvation. You'd have never heard about the Lord Jesus Christ except by His grace. We had the missionary here Wednesday night, and he gave a powerful testimony. A missionary that came over here after he got saved, another missionary in the church over there led him to the Lord. He came over here, went through our school. He's been gone 6 years back on the field. He had a great report of churches started and souls being saved. A great testimony Wednesday night. But the man, when he first heard about Jesus, had to walk to church 10 miles. I said, walk to church 10 miles. And a lot of people can't drive 10 blocks in an air-conditioned automobile. But a man walking 10 miles to church, escaping the voodoo and the witchcraft of his village. I say to you, we ought to thank God for His grace. Amen. I mean, you think about that. And by the way, he was walking to church. He was walking to church. Now, the missionaries go in the villages, but they also start churches. And folks, your church membership ought to mean something to you. That's what Jesus started. That's what He died for, the Bible says. You say, well, the church is outdated. Don't kid yourself. I read this stat a number of years ago. Not too many. 4 or 5 years ago, I read where take all the professional baseball games and all the professional football games, and take the whole crowd in a season. They go for a whole season, all baseball, all football. You'll get around 54 million people for the season. But take the same stat. On any given Sunday, any one Sunday, 85 million are in church. Somebody says the church has failed. It hadn't failed. It's just a measuring stick which is showing some failures outside of it that don't care about it. Do you understand? And I'll preach on this sometime. There's a parallel world, and I'm not talking about science fiction. I'm talking about there's a world of people out there that don't know you and I exist within the church. Our job is to reach them, but at the same time, they're doing their thing. Don't criticize me for doing my thing. I'm in God's house. I'm in what He started. I'm in what His plan is. And it's the church. Don't sell it short. It's not defeated. It's going to be here till Jesus comes. And He's coming soon. And we're going to be victorious over the world, the flesh, and the devil, my friend. That's God's house. Don't sell it short. Need to practice being thankful for it, for God's grace. You know, if you're saved, you know Jesus. You've been born again. You know if you died today, you'd go to heaven. You ought to be thankful to think where you'd be without that knowledge. Thankful that you heard it. If I asked you to raise your hand, could you, when you remember back and think the first time I ever heard the gospel? I can. Now, I've been preaching it as a pastor 43 years and served the Lord about 10 years before that in the church I was saved in. But I still remember like it was last night when I heard the gospel for the first time. As a 22-year-old man sitting on the back row and heard the good news that Jesus loved me while I was yet a sinner. Never got over that. Never will. Throughout eternity, I want to praise Him. for his grace in reaching me. I'm thankful for that. You have to keep that in mind. If you're here and you're unsaved, let me tell you what you ought to be thankful for. You say, "Preacher, I'm unsaved. According to you, I'm going to hell." Yes, without Jesus, you will. But here's what you can be thankful for. You're still alive. You haven't gone yet. You can still get saved. You can get saved this morning. You can come believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Let him be your Savior. Have your name written in heaven. The opportunity is still open. It may not be tomorrow or the next day, but right now it's open to you to come and receive Christ. I guess one of the greatest sins, I believe, before the Lord is going to be the ingratitude for God giving his only begotten Son. Think about it. He emptied heaven's glory. He gave his best. He spared not his own Son, the Scripture says, but delivered him up freely for us all. The ingratitude of saying no to Jesus. Hebrews 10 talks about how you're trampling the blood underfoot when you reject Jesus Christ. Rejection is a hard thing. We see and we felt personal rejection in this life. You're going to have some of that. But think about rejecting God that became flesh to die for your sins. Rejecting him. Think about that. It's some painful thing. I know a painful story. It's an old story. It tells of a farmer and his wife. They struggled. They fought the land and the elements. And they kept the farm going. They raised a little boy. They raised him well. They fed him. They took care of him. They supplied his every need. The little boy did well in school. And the day come that for him to go to college. The farmer and his wife had saved and scraped, and they got enough to send him to college. But he got off to college. He got with friends. Or they'd bought him some store-bought clothes. He fit right in with them. He had a good education from high school. But he went to college, and he got in with the society gang. And after a while, he no longer communicated with mom and dad. He no longer wrote, answered their letters. So the time came that the dad said to mom, said, "I got to find out about our boy. Got to find out he's all right." And he hooked the old mule to the wagon and camped out overnight a time or two, but he reached the big city. And he went reached the college campus. And as he was bringing the mule and wagon in, there was a group of boys on the corner. And one of the boys spoke up and said, "Look at that hillbilly. Look at that old man, the way he's dressed. The mule and wagon. Said, look at his hands, they're all garled up. Said, look at him." And the boy in the crowd, the son, turned and looked and saw his own father. And his own father saw him, and their eye met. The father heard what the boys were saying, and he saw his son turn his back and say, "Oh, I don't know who he is." And the father turned the old mule around, and he made his way back home. And he come in and burst into tears as he hugged his wife and said, "Honey, we've lost our boy. We've lost our boy." That's supposed to be a true story, folks. I won't say that's bad, but I want to tell you something worse. Rejecting your heavenly Father that gave his Son for you on the cross of Calvary. No bigger picture of ingratitude than that. Do you know the Lord Jesus? You'd be saved this morning. Many people sitting around you are saved. They've trusted Christ. You can come trust him today. I pray you will. Are you thankful to him that you can still have your sins forgiven if you'll trust Christ? Let's bow our heads, please.